listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor.
All right, Tim Gallagher joining the Chicago Bullseye. Basketball historian, great. Always great to have you on, Tim. Looking forward to getting caught up. What do you think so far about the beloved Bulls after seven games? Pretty interesting start, obviously, so far at 4-3. Probably a little bit better than most people expected, probably exactly what I expected. What say you on where they're at right now?
Sure. Well, it's still very early in the season, and you know, seven games, obviously, for all the teams in the league, it's hard to say, but I think we already are seeing some tendencies, and so with the Bulls, they are about where I expected them to be at this point, although I really expected them to beat the Knicks at home. That was the one game I think was a little bit of a surprise, and Noah and Rose, I have to admit, they did look pretty good, but I still don't believe they're going to sustain that kind of effort throughout the season, either due to health reasons or age reasons or mileage reasons, but I have to tip my cap to them. They did play pretty well in that return to the United Center. But the rest of the games have pretty much played out how I thought. You know, losing at Boston, you know, was somewhat expected. It was a tough road game. And then the loss at Indy was disappointing, but it was the second night of a back-to-back and that loss to the Knicks. So, and I think overall in the league, and I haven't charted it or looked at the league overall, but I know just from some games I've watched on League Pass and studied some box scores, there's been some pretty solid whippings on second nights of back-to-backs, even for good teams, right? And
right.
The one that comes to mind out west was Golden State just hammered the Thunder, and then the next night the Lakers beat them by 20. And so there's been a number of other games like that where second night of back-to-backs, even for really good teams, they've looked pretty bad. So maybe with that, the league will look into what we were suggesting a while back, and we heard Jeff Van Gundy talking about in that podcast, where shorten the preseason and just space out the games a little more during the regular season. So I would love to see that and seeing some of these ugly second night of back-to-back games. Maybe that will prompt the league to think about it. But for the Bulls overall, 4-3 is, you know, is okay. You know, it's interesting just to give you some context. So being out here on the West Coast, the Lakers are 4-3 and they're ready to throw a parade. You know, Luke Walton is a genius. These young players are all buying in. You know, Julius Randle, Russell, they've totally changed. You know, they're on the track to greatness, which I think it's a little early, but there certainly is some positive energy. I think we talked about it a little bit in our Western Conference preview with kind of that albatross of Kobe being gone now and Byron Scott not the head coach. It is a refreshing change on a lot of levels. But here the Lakers are 4-3, and there's a lot of excitement. The Bulls are 4-3, and it's the same record, but let's just wait and see. You know, there's probably a lot more skepticism with the Bulls' 4-3 record than there would be with the Lakers.
But, yeah, I was really disappointed, really, in only two games. The Knicks game, obviously, they just came out and their starters were blown out. And then the next night, again, their starters were basically blown out against Indiana. And it was just really unusual to see the lack of, I don't know if it was the situation with Noah and Rose coming back, but they just really, the lack of energy in both those games is so strange compared to how they started out in the first three. I don't know if you saw that. If you had a chance to watch that Knicks game, I was really disappointed in the effort in that game in Indiana. But then again, they come back out last night against Orlando, who had won three in a row, who was a 3-3 team at the time they played the Bulls, and they just took it to them.
Right. Well, and I think Orlando is one of those teams that just hasn't learned how to win yet. Vogel's a new coach, and you know, and those are the teams that, you know, the Bulls have had some very dominant victories to start the season in a few of those wins that they've had. And I'm almost wondering if those easy wins have given them a little false sense of their talent and security and, you know, just thinking they can just show up and things are going to go well. You would think with leadership like Wade that he'll really let them know that we need to show up and play every night. We need to come out from the opening tip and be ready to go like they were in some of those victories that they won pretty comfortably. Overall, just some Bulls team observations so far. On the positive side, I really like the rebounding and offensive rebounding in particular. I see they're second in the league in rebounds per game, and certainly just the eyeball test. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Lopez is just active on that glass, and I just love it. And even though his rebounding numbers are not anything dramatic, he seems to be involved in every rebound, even if he doesn't get it, or he's got his fingertips on it. And so just that activity from him, and then Taj obviously is, we'll get to him in a second, just in terms of individual play, but really like what I see from them on the glass. I like the way the Bulls are sharing the ball and the unselfishness. I mean, sometimes I'd like to see Wade shoot the ball a little more. I know there's a few times on screen rolls with Lopez where I think he's kind of forcing it, where I'd rather just see Wade look to attack or look to score and even take a bad shot rather than maybe try to force something on a screen roll pass that's not there. But the Bulls are, they're ninth in the league in assists, so in the upper third. So I think there's stats to back up what, again, the eyeball test shows they are sharing the ball and seem to enjoy moving the ball. And there's some pretty balanced scoring. So I think that that's consistent with what I've seen there. The other thing is I like what a good free throw shooting team they are. I see they're at 80% as a team, which is great. And there's we've talked about some of the real bad free throw shooters in the league, so it's kind of refreshing to see a team that makes good free throws. I hope Rondo picks up his percentage a little bit. And, you know, Robin Lopez isn't a great free throw shooter, but he's about 64%, so hopefully he can inch that up a little bit. But so overall, the shooting and free throw shooting has been impressive, I think.
Two great points there. Yeah, two great points there I'd like to jump on. Number one, on the free throw shooting, Butler is just lights out at the free throw line so far this year. He's getting there a huge percentage per game, and he's making them at a very high rate. I think he's over 90%. I'll have to look it up in your next comment. But Wade, too. Both those guys and their ability to get to the line is going to make a huge difference and make those free throws. It's going to make a huge difference for the team, and I think the Bulls are going to be competitive in most games because of that. In addition to that, I think they're going to be a playoff team because of that, primarily. The ability to draw fouls is so underrated. Getting to the line and making those free throws is going to come in handy as the season goes on when you have those off nights. Rebounding, you touched on, great points. The Bulls are number one in the league in offensive rebounding. They're also number one in the league in differential. They're a plus 11, the only team in double digits. I think they're averaging a plus 11.3. They're the only team in double digits in the entire NBA. So great signs there, and you hit on two of those points that really makes a difference in winning and losing, rebounding and getting those free throws and making them.
Right, and there was some criticism going into the season that the Bulls would not be a great shooting team, and obviously that proficiency in offensive rebounding is making up. That makes up for a lot of missed shots. And, you know, you can just see when teams get offensive rebounds like the Bulls, it's deflating to the defense, too. So there's a intangible there, along with obviously getting that rebound. You know, here you've got another possession, a reset on the shot clock, and you can just see the body language of the defenders, you know, sag, right, where, oh, no, we got to go another 24 now, where we, you know, here we just defended a whole possession, and now they've got the ball back again. So I think there's a lot of intangible benefits of that rebounding differential also. The other thing that I was surprised to see that the Bulls are toward the bottom in steals. It seems like, again, the eyeball test, they're a lot more active in the passing lanes with Rondo and Wade, and obviously Michael Carter-Williams would help a lot with that, and he's injured right now. So I was surprised that they're so low in terms of steals, but it certainly seems like on the defensive end they're more active in the passing lanes. And that statistic was a little odd to me that they were so low in the steal count. But
great point. Yeah, that is true. And I think that's going to rectify itself when he comes back and Wade and Rondo keep on starting. They're just both so good at stealing the ball. And I like that general concept I think they've had to start out most games is that let Wade and Rondo be extremely aggressive in going for steals and let Lopez and Taj clean up the mess. You know, back to one point, Butler is 51 of 57 so far this year at the free throw line. Shooting at 89.5% free throw
percentage right now. Just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic in just seven games, 51 of 57. So, but you make a great point about the steals. I think that will improve as the year goes on.
Right. And, well, that's a good segue to just some of the individual players and what I've seen so far. So with Jimmy, yeah, so far so good. He's leading the team in scoring. I see he's the only player averaging over 30 minutes a game, just over 30. So obviously, as we're still recovering from the Tibbs era and you know, minutes allocations being an issue, you know, I think Jimmy's young enough and talented enough that he can carry that load. Seems like he's managing the minutes well with Wade. And Rondo's one of those guys that doesn't really seem to ever get tired. But I'd say Wade averaging 17 a game and playing the way he's playing, so far so good, right? I've been impressed by, you know, I knew the leadership would be there and just his credentials as a future Hall of Famer, but he's still got game to back it up, at least so far. I know it's early in the season. So another player we'll talk a little more about is Taj, and I've been most impressed by his overall improvement. And maybe I just wasn't watching close enough, but it seems like his footwork and post moves, I don't know what he did in the offseason, but it seems like it's definitely a level above what I've seen before. And, you know, just finishing around the basket with his left hand and, you know, drop steps, up and unders. And so I'm very excited to see that. And his improvement in rebounding, you know, I just want to see him sustain it. But I think Taj is looking really good. Lopez. You know, so Lopez, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 1.5 blocks. I think he could probably inch all those numbers up a little bit. And hopefully he's much more durable. You know, obviously with Noah missing a lot of action due to injuries in recent years, you know, we really need somebody in the middle like Robin Lopez that we can count on for extended minutes. And I think his contribution is a little more than what his numbers are showing, but just like the way he patrols the paint, his alertness on the court, you know, sets legal screens, which is a rare art in today's NBA, in my opinion. You know, he's not throwing his hips out or sticking his knee out that I'm seeing. And so, yeah, like what I'm seeing there. You know, McDermott, I would like to see Doug's minutes, and we'll get to this in a second when we get to Nico, but, I just really like Doug's ability to shoot the ball. That's an understatement. We've watched that for a few years, but I'd still like to see his shot attempts get up to say 10 or more shots a game, and maybe with a few more minutes of playing time that'll get there, but with him, I want to see him take a few bad shots, just knowing that he's got a shoot-first mentality because of his skill as a shooter. With Nico,
yep,
that's the one dark spot for me so far. He's just too inconsistent for me, and I've already talked about not really trusting him late in the games. And just his highs and lows, I mean, he's shooting 28% on threes so far, 37% overall. And, you know, I was trying to think with Nico, I think, you know, if you look back to past Bulls that were maybe a similar style player for him, you know, I was kind of hoping maybe he could be a Tony Kukoc type player at some point. But I just am not seeing the consistency. And, you know, I'm thinking he's going to be more like Vladimir Redmanovic, who was, you know, a serviceable player, you know, year-old player. But
mm-hmm.
Never a star, never an all-star, kind of bounced around to some teams. And I don't want to be all negative on Nico, but I'm just not buying into it so far this season. I'd really rather see more of his minutes going to McDermott, even Portis, especially the times of the game when Nico's playing the four, and then when Denzel gets healthy, to have Valentine get some of those minutes. So I just don't see the upside at this point in Nico. I know he has little flashes and little streaks, but, you know, when I saw 28% on threes, 37% overall, and then playing with a pass-first point guard and someone like Rondo to get you the ball, that's the one big concern I have in terms of their rotation guys at the moment. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with you on Nico, and there's a really tough decision to make regarding him because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. And, you know, based on what some of the contracts, some of the guys out there have got, how much is Nico Mirotić going to get? I think it could be potentially substantial, and I'm not sure I wanted to vote a good percentage of our cap re-signing him because I agree with you. I'm so up and down on a guy. Sometimes he's so good. Other times he's just awful. A couple of things that have irritated me about him are I don't think he's got stronger. To me, he looks weaker. I thought by the time he got in the NBA, you know, after 2 or 3 years, he'd fill out a little bit. He's exactly the same, if not skinnier, than he was when he first joined the NBA. I don't see any increase in strength at all, and I think that's often hurts him on the defensive end, especially rebounding. I don't think his defense has been that good this year, and his start has been pretty bad overall. I think he does obviously draw attention because he can't, and it's something that's needed in the game, bringing out those big guys, and he can hit the three, and he is sometimes effective at driving after faking the three, but he's got to get that percentage up. I think he probably will. I don't expect him to shoot this bad all year, and I thought he played pretty solid at the end of last year, but he's just a maddening guy to watch. A few times a game, you're always just like, what in the world is he thinking? The biggest issue with this team, by far, is that after Taj and Lopez, I think there's just a massive drop-off in defensive ability on the interior defensive side. So I think Portis is a pretty bad defender. I think, Felicio, some people love him. I think he's slow in his rotations. I don't think he's a great defender. He's a good athlete. He still has a lot to learn. I find him very frustrating, too. So, in other words, when Lopez and Taj go to the bench, I just think they are not a very good defensive team. And that's where, to me, it's most important that you're strong. And your forwards and centers have to be able to guard. At least bring rim protection. And then, you know, as much as heat as Gasol took last year, he does bring that. He brought rim protection. We don't have that with Felicio. We don't have that with Portis. We don't have that with any of the big guys that come off the bench, Nico. That's a huge issue, and they need to get some kind of defensive stopper off the bench when it comes to playing down low.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. They need a little more depth in the front court. I'm not sure where that's going to come from. I still think there's time for Portis to develop, and I think he's looked a little better the last couple of games. I think his ability to rebound is solid. And I think with him also confidence is going to be a big thing. And I see, again, these last few games after a slow start when he was kind of getting in garbage time anyway, it seems like he's showing some of the signs that he had flashes of last season. And obviously the Summer League, although obviously the Summer League is not regular season NBA basketball and competition, but I think he showed some of his skill level there in terms of being able to shoot a pick and pop, to be able to rebound and be active on the glass. So the other player just to touch on, I really like what I've seen from Rondo so far too, other than shooting the ball. But again, I think his ability to distribute the ball and his creativity, and I've really looked closely at him in terms of just his attitude. You know, a guy runs, a guy falls to the floor, he's over there to pick him up. It seems like he's buying in from an attitude standpoint, which I know we talked about that many times with the combination of Wade there, and there better not be anybody sloughing off and then be able to look Dwayne Wade in the eye, right? That's one of the main reasons you brought Wade in as well, is to have accountability for everyone and then to set an example for the young players. But Rondo's attitude and creativity and his assist-to-turnover ratio is good. So I like the way he's running the team and pleased so far with that as well.
Great. That's awesome. Before you go, I was hoping we could get just your general thoughts on some of the teams in the standings, early standings. Just get your opinion on some of these teams that are, somewhat a surprise. How about the Hornets at 5-1? I can't recall where you predicted they would end up, but are you at all surprised with this hot of a start from that team?
I had the Hornets, I predicted them to be 45-37 and as a sixth seed, about where the Bulls would be. So they have been impressive so far. I know they always play well against the Bulls. We've talked about that before, too. But, again, I think kind of building on the continuity of, you know, Coach Clifford, Nicholas Batum's now there for a second year. Kemba Walker's been a fixture there for a while. And just that culture seems to be getting better. They got rid of Al Jefferson, which he was kind of injury-prone and aging, so it seems like they've been able to replace him. I know they picked up Roy Hibbert, who I'm not a huge fan of, but you know, they've got Kaminsky, Cody Zeller, Kid Gilchrist is at least effective on the defensive end and on the glass. So a little surprising, not that they wouldn't have a winning record to make the playoffs, but to have this quick of a start is a little bit of a surprise. I'd say two teams that I'm surprised how poorly they're doing are the Wizards and Dallas. And you know, I had both those teams in playoff spots, and it's still early, but I'd say those two teams have been pretty unimpressive out of the gate. And you know, but it's interesting. I watched some of the Clippers hosting Detroit last night, and Detroit looked like they were on a good trajectory, and the Clippers just destroyed them. So, and the Clippers, if they stay healthy, they've been kind of lurking in the shadows the last few years, and injuries or other things, you know, the whole Donald Sterling ownership issue kind of derailed them, at least off the court. And obviously with Golden State and San Antonio being so strong in the West, too, that, you know, there are some obstacles. But at least out of the gate seven games, the Clippers look a little more impressive than they have in recent years. And I touched on a little bit in our Western Conference preview that the acquisition of Maurice Spates has paid some dividends already, just in terms of kind of more players from that winning culture they had at Golden State, plus his ability to shoot the ball and not have DeAndre Jordan in the game late in the game. So Cleveland being unbeaten isn't a surprise. You know, they obviously, as long as LeBron's there, anything's possible on the positive side.
How about the Warriors? How about the Warriors in their 5-2 start, looking very beatable, for lack of a better word, I guess.
Right, right. Well, when did they have two losses last year? Christmas? I don't even know, right? After the first of the year, I don't know if they lost two games until the turn of the calendar in January. Well, I think we just talked a little bit about Spates, who's a role player, but you know, you lose Spates, Bogut, Azili, Barbosa, you know, it's not just one or two, it's four or five guys that are gone from that team that won a championship or, and got within minutes of winning a second one. So the thing I've noticed so far is just their rim protection and defensive presence. Pachulia just doesn't have that physical presence that Bogut did or even Azili, really, even though Azili was a little bit raw. He still could block shots and was active. So I'm concerned for them, meaning Golden State, that their rim protection, defense in the paint, that could be an issue, especially despite their wide-open style in the playoffs when the game typically slows down a little, more of half-court, that the teams may be able to exploit that and score against Golden State. Now, they're capable of going off. I caught the game on League Pass last night where Curry broke the NBA record for most threes in the game, 13. So, you know, he, Durant, Klay Thompson, and even Draymond on occasion, as a fourth wheel in that machine, any one of them could go off and have a game and beat anybody badly last night, like they did last night. So, but I'd say a little surprising that they've got two losses already. And I think it's, I think it's going to be a little bit more of an adjustment. You know, and their coaching staff changed too. Luke Walton is starting to make some positive things happen with the Lakers, and he was right there, obviously head coach for the time Kerr was out due to health issues, and Kerr's right-hand man there for these last few seasons. So Mike Brown, former NBA coach with Cleveland and a couple other teams, is on that bench now, and you know, a lot of adjustments both from the coaching staff and with some very key starters and role players, that it's just hard to not miss a beat with those kind of changes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great season. I really am excited about seeing where this ends up. I know a lot of people say it's a foregone conclusion that Cleveland and it's going to be Cleveland and Golden State. I don't see how you could possibly say have any concerns about Golden State after watching these first seven games. They have major issues with rim protection, and when they play, you know, some of these bigger lineups are really bored. I still think they're probably going to be the favorites. Don't get me wrong. I think Cleveland is clearly the favorite in the East, but there's a lot of exciting basketball out there and a lot of teams on the rise, and I'm really looking forward to this year. So, and the Bulls, too. I really think the Bulls can scare the living daylights out of a lot of teams in the playoffs.
Right. Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see about that. I'm not quite ready to put them that high, the Bulls meaning that high in the East. The Raptors are strong. The Hawks look pretty good. Charlotte, like you talked about, is looking good. One last thought before we wrap up, and you see our guy Tibbs is struggling a little bit at Minnesota. And, you know, again, it's young players, new system. So, again, I had them improving over last year, but I don't know if people thought, well, with Tibbs there and this young talent, presto, they're going to be a playoff team. It just doesn't happen that way, or very rarely does it happen that way. So we'll see. Again, it's still
it's
early.
It's a full-fledged disaster for him as a start. I don't see how you can look at anything else in any way else. They haven't had any back-to-back games. They've played the Kings and lost. They've lost at home to Denver. Their schedule hasn't been that rough. They've won one game against Memphis, and in that game, Gasol sat out and so did Conley. Their two best players didn't even play. So, and they lost in the other game to Memphis, in Memphis. I don't see how anyone could say this has been anything but a complete disaster as far as the start goes. Now, the schedule's pretty easy. I looked at their schedule. I think they're going to win a few now coming up, and I don't think they're this bad. But, you know, there's a lot of good teams in the West all of a sudden, and I don't see them. I think they could be in danger of missing playoffs.
Minnesota?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't see them making the playoffs. I can't imagine that happening. Even if they kind of get things together. I mean, Utah looks strong. The Lakers are much improved. You know, it's still early. I think Dallas will get it together somewhat unless, you know, Dirk is just totally out of gas and they're going to kind of forego the season. But I don't see that happening because, they've got Bogut there and, hopefully a healthier Darren Williams, and they'll start, putting things together. And they're going to compete and play hard to win at home. I'm talking about Dallas now. So even some of the teams, Phoenix is going to struggle some, but they're competitive every night. I think it's going to be very tough for Minnesota, especially in the West.
Agreed. Tim, great to have you on as always. Thanks so much for jumping on the Bullseye. And looking forward to having you on again soon. Let's talk again sometime either later this week or early next week and get caught up on where we're at.
Sounds good, Fred. Well, and enjoy that afterglow of the Cubs World Series Championship. And just so exciting to see that and happy for all the Cubs fans that have waited longer than lifetimes in some cases for that.
Amen. Thank you, my friend. Have a good one, brother.
You too, Fred. Thanks.